Well, good morning once again, everyone. I'm Pastor Doug, and I'm glad to be with you again this morning, this time live with you, joining a few of us for worship here this morning. What a difficult time it's been. I don't know about you, but I've been trying to sort out what it all means and how do we find wisdom in the midst of the season that we're in right now. How do we navigate the health crisis of a viral pandemic? How do we confront the racial injustice that, just like a virus, still haunts our nation? How do we separate the good from the bad that we see and experience? We need wisdom. But we don't just need any human wisdom. We need uncommon wisdom. And so together, we're going to take this summer to explore the wisdom of Jesus that we experience in his parables. Today we're going to specifically look at why he gave us these parables. He told us why in Matthew 13. So read along with me as I share with you these verses 10 through 13 and then 16 and 17. Here's what it says. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." This is the word of the Lord. So have you ever had the experience of noticing someone who had food on their face but didn't know it? A milk mustache or a smudge of barbecue sauce or maybe a tiny piece of bread caught in their beard? Seriously, when you notice that they had food on themselves and they clearly did not see it, how did you help them or did you help them? Hopefully how it went is you told them that they had something, some food on their face, and you pointed out where it was, and they instinctively went to that same area with a napkin and brushed it or wiped it away. And then you went about your meal together, forgetting the whole incident. But there are some times, and maybe you've experienced this, when that doesn't work. Either they don't understand your directions or they don't understand just how clingy that food or that smudge was to their face. And so it becomes this difficult dance for you to communicate the issue, the problem, that they've still got food on their face. Often the only hope at that time is to stop and to tell them, you know what, you need to find a mirror. You need to go to a place so you can see it yourself. See, sometimes I need someone else's eyes to help me. Or I need a mirror so I can see it for myself. Just sitting there without you or without a mirror, I'm unable to see the issue for myself. The same is true when it comes to the kingdom of God. The reality of God's rule and God's reign that Jesus ushered into the world by his coming in the flesh. You see, Jesus gives us parables so we can see. They are mirrors for us because we need help to see God at work in the world. We can't see it on our own. As we're going to experience this summer, these parables are not moral lessons, though they can feel that way. They're not sermon illustrations, though they can sometimes feel that way too. But instead, they are what author Jared Wilson calls wisdom scenes. They shed light on the truth of the kingdom of God, which, as we see in these verses I just read, that Jesus sometimes calls the kingdom of heaven. You see, we need the wisdom revealed in these stories for us. You see, God reveals the kingdom of God through Jesus. So we must trust him to give us eyes to see and to give us ears to hear. Jesus uses these parables in order to reveal and actually conceal the kingdom. He does this by showing the unstoppable and unexpected nature of the kingdom in these stories. So let's look at how he uses these stories to help us see his kingdom come. First, we learn that in the parables of Jesus, we see and hear the unstoppable nature of the kingdom of God. How is the kingdom of God unstoppable? Well, in verse 12, there's a very important understanding that we need to get a hold of what the parables are showing us. Remember, Jesus says this, "For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." That word abundance actually means to be oversupplied. It describes a piling on of blessings in the kingdom. You see, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of grace. And so for one to be given what is not deserved, it is not just going to be just enough. It's not going to be scraping up enough to get by. Jesus is telling us that the nature of the kingdom is unstoppably abundant. A spring that never runs dry. A dispenser that never shuts down. It's the grace that allows a person to see that even though things may look very, very bad, God is doing something new under and around and through it all. And that restoration will not be thwarted by anything, even unbelief. You see, because when we read at the end of that verse, that latter half of verse 12, we see some words that sometimes we can cringe at. We focus on the taking away that he talks about here. We think about what's lost. We picture an image like ice cream being pulled away from a child, and we think to ourselves, that's just not fair. But as we really think about what he's saying here, it starts to make sense. It moves from being a discussion for us of fairness and moves into looking at how things really work. Think about it in terms of musical or athletic ability. We know that when it comes to certain abilities, there's something in what a person has received that is beyond their capacity to explain. They're just good at something. Some people can pick up a racket or a saxophone, and in a short time, they're able to do something that is incredible with that equipment. And as they exert effort to enhance their gifts in that area, they get better and better at it. Now, think about someone who did not receive the gift of that particular skill to play a sport or to play an instrument. They can work very hard to get in a place where they're pretty good, where they're sort of serviceable at it. But if they take a break or they set it down for a few months, they lose a lot more than someone who has that gift. It's not a function of fairness, it's a function of reality. Jesus is telling us that like a special ability, knowledge of the kingdom is a gift. Those who've received the gift receive so much more in abundance from that gift. Those who do not receive that gift, what they have dwindles because it's not in their ability to receive it and to delight in it. It's taken away. It fades. This whole conversation began because The disciples of Jesus were struggling with why it is that so many people who met Jesus rejected him. In Matthew 11 and 12, we see Jesus teaching and performing miracles. His disciples are right there watching all these amazing things that Jesus is doing and saying. And yet not everyone follows. Not everyone decides to come to Jesus. In fact, some are even hostile to Jesus and plotting for his arrest and execution. I think the disciples were flabbergasted. And so when Jesus began to tell these parables in Matthew 13, the disciples, of course, wondered, Jesus, why are you speaking these parables that people can't understand? You see, Jesus was trying to explain to his disciples what they were seeing, that some got it and some did not. It wasn't an indicator of how the kingdom was coming. Instead, what was being highlighted was the nature of the hearts not willing to receive the kingdom versus those that were. You see, even unbelief did not stop God's kingdom from coming. This is God's grace. This is a gift. The disciples were not disciples because of their choice, but because of God's choice. You and I are not prone to follow God because of our own predisposition to it, but because of God's purposeful initiative in us. The truth of God's kingdom, even in the hearts of people, is unstoppable. Pastor and author Tim Keller described the unstoppable kingdom this way. He said this: the kingdom of God is nothing less than the power of God in heaven entering the world to hear every alienation and every brokenness in every dimension of human life, whether it's social or economical or racial or emotional or physical or psychological or spiritual. So how do we embrace this truth when our world seems in such chaos today? Well, from the outside, it looks as though things are just spiraling further and further out of control. But don't you see, if someone has, as Jesus said, received the secrets of the kingdom, then they are now invited into God's solution for the problems plaguing the world. The ones who are reconciled to God can be truly reconciled to one another, no matter what wrongs have been done. The ones being restored to their true image in Christ can become a blessing to a world longing to be restored in the image of God. What would this look like for you and me in our relationships, in our spheres of influence, everywhere we find ourselves today? It's that kingdom that is unstoppable. You see, God reveals the kingdom of God through Jesus. So we must trust him to give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Jesus is telling his disciples his purpose for telling these parables. And we learn that these parables, he's revealing the unstoppable nature of the kingdom. But we learn that he's doing something else as well. You see, in these parables of Jesus, we also see and hear the unexpected nature of the kingdom of God. It's unexpected. The kingdom of God does not operate the natural way our world operates. It doesn't operate the natural way we operate with one another. But how does this unexpected kingdom operate? If Jesus is the one inaugurating it, how is it different from what is going on in our own world? This is the truth that we'll be exploring and unpacking over the next several weeks as we look at these parables of Jesus, seeing the ways in which the kingdom of God works in our world. But I want to give you just a glimpse this morning of what that may look like. Just before this passage we're looking at here, Jesus tells the people a parable about soils. There is hardened soil and rocky soil, soil among thorns and good, fertile soil that gets the seed. But in the story, the farmer throws the seed on all different soils, not just the good soil. Why would a farmer throw seed in places where there's no possibility of growth? Doesn't that seem like a waste? Why is it that all these different soils exist when we know nothing will grow there ultimately? See, Jesus is giving us a glimpse of the unexpected. That the kingdom of God does not come the way any other kingdom has come, through domination and control and human manipulation. But it comes in the deep and ever-growing and ever-changing beauty of a world getting set right and being prepared for a new heaven and a new earth to come. Have you ever gone back and visited a place where you lived 5, 10, or maybe 20 years ago? Do you remember what happened when you did? You're probably amazed by the change that you saw. The trees were taller. The flowers seemed more brilliant. The house had been remodeled. There was a new store on the corner. Things had been painted and put in place. You see, these changes that happened between the time you were there and the time you came back were changes that had been happening all the time you were there too. But that unexpected growth and change and newness of life that was happening was somehow invisible to you until you looked back on it, until you went back there to see what was actually happening. The unexpected change, the unexpected growth, the unexpected beauty. The parables that Jesus tells challenge us in the way we see the world. They're meant for us to ponder what he's talking about. And they're meant to flip us upside down so we can see the kingdom of God right side up. But what's most powerful about these stories is what they reveal for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. See, Jesus did not come to give good illustrations for how to make your life better and more comfortable. He did not come to tell you the same thing that the world tells you about working harder and doing better and making a name for yourself. No, God's kingdom does not fit into our routines and our schedules and our plans as we want them to go. No, God reveals the kingdom of God through Jesus so we can trust him to give us eyes to see and ears to hear. What that means is that by grace, when God gives us eyes to see and ears to hear, repentance follows and faith is born. Faith founded on the reality of the kingdom because Jesus was raised to life as the king. As Christians, we pray, "Thy kingdom come," in that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. How we need the truth of that unstoppable kingdom to reconcile relationships today. How we long for the truth of the unexpectedness of the kingdom to change things, to restore things, to right the wrongs of injustice today. One of the ways that Jesus gave us and reminded us of the power of the kingdom at work was when he set a table for his disciples. A simple meal that had been planned and prepared.